You know what that means. You're tuned into Super Sun's weekly radio show, Everything Under the Sun.
Right here on KDNK. Thank
you, Yesenia. Of course. Yesenia. I'm your host for today with my co-host, James Steiner, and Rally.
Thank you.
Rally.
Yesenia Burgos Benavides, hosting us on your show today. I'm honored to be your guest.
The one and only, and Yesenia's in the hot seat today, engineering the board, going from co-host to the regular host. Thank you for being here. Or thanks for taking the leap, Yesenia.
Of course.
You're doing great.
You must be 18.
Oh my gosh, I think I heard something about that. You turned 18 recently.
Yes.
Happy 18th birthday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
James, I heard some exciting news about you.
Oh, yes, we James, we did.
I did not turn 18. I mean, I did at one point. It's a while ago.
No, I heard that that you got eloped.
I got
eloped. Off to the courthouse.
I did. I went to the Garfield County Courthouse, and my partner and I, my fiance, now my husband, we got married on January 14th. We eloped. I spoke with a lovely woman who got us all married at the Garfield County Courthouse. Shout out to Maggie. Thank you so much, Maggie. It's really lovely. Just lovely. They have a great setup down there. They marry people pretty frequently at the Garfield County Courthouse, at least like once a day, sounds like. So they have like a congratulations with like flowers hanging down, like that's always up. You know, it's just like this little sign or whatever, and you could take pictures in front of. And I also got to hold my lovely newborn nephew for the first time on my wedding day.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Little newborn nephew named after you.
That's right. James' namesake. James the third. Ish. Might be the fourth.
So it's pretty simple to get married, turns out. You don't need much?
It's actually quite, in Colorado in particular, it's quite easy, it turns out, to get married. Even your dog could witness for you. In fact, my 2.5-year-old niece was our first witness. She signed a W. And so it turns out it's quite easy to get married. You just walk in there. You could take the certificate out with you even and sign it somewhere else special. We decided just to sign it there at the courthouse. We were in and out of there within 30 minutes. It is, so to answer your question, it's quite easy to get married in Colorado.
Turns out.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, for the sake, we had planned on getting married later on in the year, but decided to. It's been kind of actually a movement, it sounds like, of different LGBTQ+ couples going and getting married. Just out of fear that things might change on the federal level in the next 4 years, just like so many things already kind of are. So, we figured why not. And it's kind of like the idea, I think, being that the more people who elope or go and get married who are LGBTQ+, the harder it'd be for the government or anyone to ever try to invalidate all those marriages.
Right.
So.
Wow. But also maybe getting ahead of if it was made, I don't know, somehow it was disallowed for same-sex couples to get married.
Later on.
Like in the near future.
Right, before June, which is when we were initially planning on getting married.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the sooner the better. That's always been kind of my motto. I'm not a patient man. So in case you haven't gotten it today, folks, we are just, like, kind of having a fun show. We're also
riff-raffing.
We're riff-raffing. The Sopra Sun is beautiful this week. Have you seen it yet, Yesenia? It's a great cover this week, don't you think?
Yeah, that is really pretty.
Patrick Kelleher.
Shout out to Patrick Kelleher.
An actor that went through many local theater programs, and is making it big time in Los Angeles on a new show called The Rookie on ABC. Do you know that show?
I do not.
I didn't know it.
It's been on for quite a few seasons. I think it's in its seventh season now.
Oh.
And yes, The Rookie, I know it's on Hulu, so you can support Patrick by checking it out there. I think he's lined up to be in the rest of the season, if I'm not mistaken, at least the first few episodes. And he is The Rookie, it sounds like, on The Force. Shoot, there was something else I was going to mention. Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed listening to Express Yourself last Friday. Okay. And he was interviewed on Express Yourself. And he just sounds like a really a lovely young man.
Yeah. Well, to explain a little bit, we were trying to have a show focused around the town of Carbondale's new building codes. You'll find some information in Scuttlebutt this week about an upcoming open house, if you care to learn about those codes and the way they're being cleaned and transitioned and updated before being voted on by the trustees. I think they're asking for comments by February 3rd. So that didn't work out to be today's topic. But we figured it would be a good training exercise for Yesenia to run the board.
Great job.
Thank you.
I'm fresh back from a trip to Argentina. I know. I can share a little bit about that experience when we've got James newlywed.
We're just sharing
freshly 18.
A little bit of behind the scenes at the Soapless Sun in Sol del Valle. And we do want to talk a little bit about Raleigh's trip. And I don't know if some listeners might recall about this time last year, Raleigh came back from a 5-week sabbatical in Argentina.
It's true.
There's this place that's near his friends know, and that there's this place in Argentina that's near and dear to his heart, and that it's also facing an indigenous population that's facing quite a bit of governmental interference, perhaps. Do you care to maybe recap a little bit, Raleigh, about that indigenous group down there? And then we can maybe go from there. Sorry.
Sounds good. Yeah, so since I was 22, I've gone back and forth to a place in Argentina, in northern Patagonia, one town called El Bolson, where I lived for a number of months. Made some good relationships, friends, and also became connected with a community radio station there, Radio Alas, and that inspired me to get involved with Kareneka,
radio station,
when I came back. So on a return trip between jobs here at KD&K, when I went from news director to program director, I went down to El Bolson and I brought some retired radio equipment from KD&K to the radio station there. And there was a Canadian Japanese DJ, really cool guy named Kyo, who asked me a great question. If you ever meet a traveler, if you're finding what you're looking for, are you finding what you're looking for? And I was able to tell him, well, based on that previous trip, like I had a lot of curiosity about the Mapuche indigenous people and their sort of ongoing resistance to colonialism, the way their language is staying alive and their culture mm-hmm. is being practiced to this day. So he got me in touch with a woman named Moira Millan, who's now a very accomplished author. She has a book called The Train to Oblivion, which I gave a copy to James.
You did, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's recently translated to English by Amazon, and a really beautiful novel that's recounting several generations of history around the Mapuche people, but it gets into Ireland and some big themes around colonialism and resistance. And so this trip, though, particularly, was to revisit Moira at her community in a place near Carnleofu. It's a little town on a river. And so the backstory that I learned more of on this trip was that around 1939, there was an indigenous population of Mapuche living on the banks of the river. And they were evicted by the government. They were basically pushed off that land. The government of the time took it for themselves, made it into a police outpost. They burnt the houses down. They burnt down the crops. They moved these people to a nearby like reservation, basically, called Cerro Centinela.
Wow.
So fast forward about 60 years, Moira Millan at the time was 29. with three children. And she had a dream about this land, and she knew that this section of the river was under threat for a big dam project that would flood all of the land anyway.
And that's that's 6 years after 1939.
60 years later, yeah. Okay,
sorry.
Yeah, so we're now in 1999.
Okay.
And Moira spoke with people who had been part of that community. Now they're quite old, and they told her their memories of the land, and she basically got their blessing to recuperate that land. And so she was part of an activist network of indigenous people, and this idea of recuperating land was gaining traction because really the way the Mapuche culture is, Mapuche means people of the earth.
That's beautiful. I remember that, sorry.
The relationship to land is super important. And so they need land to practice their religion, to be in their culture in a true form. So she got the blessing to go and recuperate that land. It just so happened on Christmas Eve of 1999, when the plan was to go and plant herself there at this land that the police took pretty much kind of abandoned, planted a bunch of pine trees, which really don't jive with the local ecosystem, that are drying out, acidifying the soil, creating fire hazard. There happened to be a stabbing in the town, unrelated, where all the police attention was on that Christmas Eve. So she went with her children, her husband at the time, and they planted themselves on that land. And they managed to keep it. I think there's a lot more to fill in here for me as well. It was interesting to hear more of the backstory on this recent trip. But when I was there with my partner, Noonie, it was the 25th anniversary of when she came and moved into that land. And so over the past 25 years, there's been a number of structures built. There's been many events hosted. They now have animals. They have goats. They have this greenhouse and food that's being grown. There's several families living there, and she has two grandchildren who were born on the land in a traditional way using the traditional methods. And so to see Moira playing with her children there on that land 25 years later, and everything that had been built up around it, was pretty touching, you know, because it was a far out thing for her to have this dream, to feel that she had this purpose, to go in and really risk herself, her safety, and rough it out with young children. But to see the fruits of that 25 years later, where there is this healthy community that's continuing to grow. One thing that her daughter-in-law showed my partner and me on a walk was this old apple tree that they had been rescuing. It had been so overgrown and hidden by the pines.
By the pine trees.
And they began clearing it and pruning it and are now receiving apples from this tree, which also represents like that history. It's more continuity with the community that was there all those years ago.
So this community that they've reestablished on ancient Mapuche land or previous Mapuche land, is it the people living there now? Is it strictly Mapuche?
It's a mix. It's mainly people in the direct family, but there are, like, for example, is a partner of one of the members of the family who is not Mapuche but is welcomed in.
Do people who kind of are welcomed in, do they end up kind of adapting those traditions, or is it not compulsory?
No, it's very much like important for the community to be practicing their religion. And so when we were there, we were invited to participate in a ceremony, but it's by no means like obligatory. Yeah, and it's quite interesting to just begin to learn about their beliefs and their cosmology. So it's a very like living spirituality, where there are protector spirits for the forest, for the river, There are these interesting roles, almost like archetypes, that follow a person, where they follow, like, basically a lineage. So it's a role in the community that manifests as, like, a spirit, which would... You would be born with that spirit if you were meant to fulfill that role, whether that's like the medicine person or the person who knows the herbs or the person who knows the traditional birthing practices, many different roles. But you have to essentially blend your spirit with that spirit, and it can be a painful process, and it can be dangerous to deny it if you have this purpose that is like a spirit that is beyond your unique you in your body, but another spirit that's like this bigger archetype that carries generations with it. The choice to meld with that or not meld with that has consequences, and there are ceremonies even around rejecting that spirit, rejecting that role. But the community was preparing for a really big one called a Satun, where a member of the community, Javier, was essentially accepting the role of chief.
Wow.
So they were doing a lot of preparations around that ceremony to come, and which, yeah.
And that's the one you were invited to.
So we were just around the 25th anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that one happened, it would have happened by now, but earlier in January.
Is that rare for like a gringo, by my ass, to go to such a ceremony?
Yeah, in that case, it would have been probably unlikely to be invited in. You know, more important that people who speak the Mapuche language, Mapuzungun, and really understand and can be like I think the casting of a ceremony on that scale involves a lot of subtle energies, and having an imbalance in that can affect how things turn out according to their beliefs. So really important that they're only speaking Mapuzungun throughout the ceremony, that everybody really understands what's happening and is participating in a correct way. So,
sorry, and was that the language? What is it?
Mapuzungun.
Mapuzungun. And do you know any words?
Yeah, I know some vocabulary.
Okay.
And it's pretty beautiful the way they consider their language is it's not just to communicate with people, but it's to speak directly with nature as well. Mm. But some beautiful words like river would be Leofu, hill would be Mahuisa.
So no like relation to like Latin origin at all.
No, yeah. Completely different.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Mapuzungun that's been adopted into both Chile and Argentina because the Mapuche existed on both sides. Mm. It's common in Argentina for people to call each other Che. You've probably heard of Che Guevara.
It's just friend.
It means person.
It just means
it's
person.
It's directly Mapuzungun.
Oh, that's right.
But they treat it like person. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so very that's cool. The Mapuche word. There's a cute one in Chile that gets used a lot, but for your girlfriend or boyfriend, pololo or polola, which is like a roly bug.
A roly poly.
That's a great word.
You call your husband your roly poly.
Yes, say the word again for me.
Pololo.
Pololo. That's perfect. I'm going to call Tristan that.
Pololo.
For our listeners, you were tuned into KDNK. Everything.
Everything. Sorry. Everything under the sun.
The Sopra Sun's weekly radio program.
Yes.
On the best radio station.
Keep interrupting the host.
I'm sorry, you guys.
No.
I'm sorry,
Yesenia.
Right.
It's all right.
So I had another question for Ollie.
Me too.
You do?
Yeah.
You go first. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, it was like towards the beginning when you were talking. I didn't know you lived in Argentina. How long did you live there for?
I was in Argentina for like 5-ish months. Back after I graduated college, I went down south and just tried to stay as long as I could.
Mm. Did you know you wanted to go there, or just like?
Yeah, so I didn't know about Argentina. I had lived in Chile as an exchange student. Mm. I knew about Argentina. I didn't know I was gonna love it like I did.
Right. You knew it was a country.
I knew it existed.
And it borders Chile.
Yes. Yeah. So people had told me about El Bolson as a pretty magical place to go. And it is. It's really amazing. There's this giant artisan market 4 days a week with all these handmade things from really talented artisans. So a lot of art. There's a lot of agriculture happening in that valley. Some pretty amazing hikes all around into the hills. And I got to see a Sol del Valle cartoonist.
I'm interrupting.
Go ahead.
These guys are taking all my ideas.
Go for it.
Well, no. You may have seen it in the Sopra Sun a couple weeks ago, or a few weeks ago while Gali was gone. And we printed a picture of this cartoonist, Leonardo Oshipenti, who lives in Argentina. And Raleigh's befriended before and been friends with since back when you were in your early 20s then?
Yeah, met him on that first trip.
Okay. And he contributes, Leo contributes a cartoon. Well, it's just a beautiful running series in Sol del Valle each week. And our Sopra Sun readers could also see that each week on page 16, our Sol del Valle page, if it's a 20-pager, which has been the case lately.
Yeah, but we have been doing a Sol del Valle page, which is English. And that was motivated by Bianca, and Bianca, I think it was a good choice. So it wasn't Spanish. And if people want to continue to practice Spanish, Sol del Valle, the actual newspaper itself, is full of great stories and fun art and is a good place to go. But yeah, now we also have Leo's comic that I'm translating into English each week.
I thought he was translating that himself. No,
I've been the translator for those. Okay. But some weeks are easier than others. This week I learned... Well, I already forgot the word for lily pad.
Okay.
But I saw it in Spanish. It was like nefusus. I was like, what is that word? Lily pads.
Well, it is really cool. And just that crossover we've been able to see between Sol del Valle and the Sopra Sun, which, of course, Sol del Valle is the Sopra Sun's Spanish newspaper. It's completely under the Sopra Sun umbrella, nonprofit umbrella. But so there is that page every week, generally page 16. If it's a 20, it's a Sol del Valle page where there's one story that's been translated from Sol del Valle. So you get to kind of hear that Latin perspective, Latino perspective, but translated into English. And vice versa, is that Sol del Valle is going to have a Sopra Sun page where a... story will be translated specifically for that page each week for Spanish readers. Anyways, it's been really great, and they have a great team at Sol del Valle. I know that we are all part of the same team, but some new contributors to Sol del Valle, like Felipe Perez, I would strongly encourage looking out for his byline. He's really a beautiful writer. And yeah, so... We are coming up pretty close on the end of our show.
Do you have any other questions, Yesenia?
All right. I hear you might be picking up the immigration beat a little bit at the Sopra Sun.
Yes. I will, not hopefully.
Yeah, we're really excited. And Yesenia, you're such an asset to the Sopra Sun. And to come in week after week and hang out with either Raleigh or I on the radio and help us interview people. I really enjoyed last week's episode. If folks want to go back, Yesenia and Raleigh hosted Zoe Rom and talked to her about their podcast, her and someone else. I forget the other person's name, but it's called Your Diet Sucks, and it sounds pretty good. And Zoe she's really fun to listen to. She's a comedian, partly.
Right.
In part.
A comedian journalist makes for a great interview.
Yeah. But, Gali, if you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share about your trip to Argentina or coming back into the saddle and the swing of things here stateside, anything you'd like to
share?
Well, I
guess just a little announcement. So that book, The Train to Oblivion, if you look up Moira Millan, M-I-L-L-A-N, You can find that in English on Amazon. She just published another book called Teresidio, but that's only in Spanish right now. But she is going to be doing a U.S. tour as a speaker in April. And so there's hope to bring her here to the Roaring Fork Valley. TBD on that. But we would love to present Moira and, for me, a lot of feelings around the ways in which this indigenous mindset can take us into a better place holistically for everybody, into like a healthier culture, more in touch with each other, with the land. And so that is touched on a lot in her new book, Teresidio, but the importance of a relationship, not only to each other, but to our land. So stay tuned for more details on that.
Has it affected you, that kind of spiritual aspect, really, personally?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Mm-hmm. No, it's just amazing to I think expand what we believe is real and possible, and to take other concepts and hold those in our hearts, and whether or not we experience them in the same way, to at least have that door or window open.
Great. Well, thank you. Go for it.
Well, thank you for tuning in with us. And thank you for this and for teaching us about the Mapuche.
Yeah.
Mapuche.
It's fascinating. And I am going to read that book so we can come on and have a discussion about that one of these days. And it'd be so lovely if Moira can come up here and share that wisdom with their community.
Yes.
Thank you, Ollie Burley.
Thank you, James. Thanks for hosting, Yesenia.
Thank you, Yesenia. Yesenia Benavides. We're so grateful for you.
Thank you.
Our Sopra star.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Have a great evening. Stay warm.